Welcome to this year's Ramban Kamura. Again, every week is a new topic. Feel free to join whatever weeks you want. There's zero commitment whatsoever. I try to pick different topics. Also, sometimes we'll do more halachic ones. Sometimes we'll show ones that really show the general thought of the Ramban. Sometimes it's very specific. Sometimes we'll go with ones where he attacks them in Ezra and has eight questions on it. And you'll get to learn a lot, I hope. I know I learn a lot as I prepare them throughout the year of trying to meet the Ramban. To learn who the Ramban was, learn how he read the Torah, and different aspects of both his style, as well as the content that he'll be delivering. So, for tonight, first, I would like to look at the Pesukim that we're going to be discussing. See, we're in Parshas Noach. Yeah, here you go. Parshas Noach. So, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph through Zion. Take two?
I'll take one.
So, the Pasuk tells us, after the survivors exited the Teva, so Hashem gave them a bracha and a few halachas. Pasuk says, "Vayivarech Elokim es Noach v'esbano v'yomer lahem peru rabu melu ha'aretz." It says, go out and populate the world. And your fear will be upon all of the animals. The animals are going to be afraid of you, be scared of you, and that will be true over everything, the birds, the fish, the animals, everything. The pasuk continues, Kol remes asher hu chai lachem yeh lachla, ki yerek esev nasati lachem es kol. Any creature that crawls upon the earth, so it will be for you as food, just like a vegetable, just like grass of the field, just like the vegetables, it will be for you as food. Okay, that's going to be an important pasuk we're going to come back to. However, don't eat Avram and Achai. Don't eat the flesh with the blood still in it, with the soul still in it. And also another exception, your own blood for your lives, if you get killed, I, Hashem says, will be dorish. I will seek it out. I will demand. I will protest from any animal. Interesting. Well, that's going to be the subject of our discussion tonight. It will be the starting point at least. Miyad ha'adam, and from the hand of a person, miyad ish achiv edrosh es nefesh ha'adam. And from each individual, from his brother, I will demand, I will seek out the soul, i.e., do not murder. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishofech, ki b'tzelem ukim asa es ha'adam, v'atem peru rabu, shirtu ba'aretz peru v'va. The pasuk is telling us, Hashem is telling Noah, that you should go and repopulate the world. Fill it up again. Right now it's desolate, I want you to repopulate. And therefore, treat life with sanctity. Don't kill people. And if you deign to care a person, you dare kill a person, then I, Hashem, says himself, will seek out his soul. I will pursue the killer. I will take him down. That's what Hashem tells me. But what's interesting is that Hashem says this not merely about people. Hashem says, any person, miyana adam, from the hand of a person, I will seek out that individual, that murderer. But Hashem also says, miyad kol chaya ad Hashem. From any animal that kills a person, Hashem says, I got that animal. I'm going to hunt him down and kill that animal for daring to hurt a person. Pretty strange. Look how the Radak explains the pasuk. Miyad kol chaya ad Hashem. In source number two, the Radak there in pasuk K. What's going to happen? Hashem is going to work events so that an animal which dares to kill a person will itself be killed by some other animal, by some person hunting, some person will kill it for fun or for food. It's going to die. This animal is going to be killed for having dared to kill a person. Interesting. The Radak raises the question. And even though the whole idea of reward and punishment makes no sense whatsoever by an animal. An animal doesn't think. It only applies to people. Only to people that are baal seicha, people that have intelligence. Nonetheless, this is an exception. Nonetheless, for whatever reason, there's an exception. They do have reward and punishment. An animal will be punished for hurting a person. Quite remarkable. That's what the Radak says. The Ramban on the pasuk begins with the Radak. Not quoting it by name, but with that pshat. Ramban says, "Miyad kol chaya ad Roshen." I will seek out. I will go after any animal that dares to kill a person. Come on, the Ramban says, "I am shocked." If you read this pasuk kipshuta, because the Ramban is going to agree methodologically. The Ramban agrees. This is the simple reading of the pasuk. The Radak's right, but does it make any sense logically? Tamani im hadrisha kimashma'a. If the seeking out that Hashem's going to do is as it implies. The pashut sounds possible that Hashem's going to kill the animal for killing a person.
Really?
Miyad chayek kmo miyad adam. To compare, just as Hashem will seek out after that person that kills, Hashem will seek out the animal that kills. Because it's strange, Leo's own expert on it, that it would be a punishment for the animal for doing what it did. An animal doesn't have any intelligence that it should be punished, or that it should get rewarded. Animals are just, dumb creatures. They can't choose, I want to do this because it's morally right, or I don't want to do this because it's morally wrong. So why would you punish him? Why would you take revenge against this animal? Who cares? It's just a creature. As if we're learning about Bava Kamma this year, who cares? It's the same thing if an animal kills and if fire kills, isn't it? What's the difference? Ramban doesn't think it makes any sense to punish the animal. So therefore, the Ramban suggests a different pshat. I numbered, you see, I try to do that often, where differences in pshat and kol. So here's the Ramban's second pshat. Now there are those that might read this as saying, no, it still is a punishment to an animal, but I think not. V'ula yiyah kein v'inyan dama adam levado, which sounds like the Razak, but I think it's different, as you'll see why in a second. He says, perhaps this is a unique aspect of an animal which kills a man, which kills a person. Shekol achai shetitrup oso titarek. That any animal that kills a man will be killed. Ki gzeres melech. And this is why I think it's different than the Razak. Because this is just the gzeres akasa. For whatever reason, some unknown, perhaps unknowable reason, Hashem said an animal which kills a person must be killed. Not because the animal deserves it, but because kach gozer haborek. This is what Hashem said. This is the punishment. Now this relates to Bava Kamma. The Ramban uses this pasuk to explain something to Bava Kamma. If an animal kills, even on the first time, and even not a shore, even if it's a chicken, right, even if any animal that kills a person gets killed itself. The pasuk in Mishpatim tells us, sakol yisakel ashor. The shore itself will be killed. The Ramban says, why? Because it dared to kill a person. He's explaining the reason for why we killed that animal as being because it killed a person. Interesting. For some Xer's accustomed, they nenu lahay anish as bala b'mamu. However, it's not to punish the owner. Think about it for a second, guys. The halacha is if an animal kills a person, the animal itself gets stoned, killed. And moreover, what happens to that animal is usur b'hanah. The owner can't even benefit from it at all. It's totally not usable. It's dead. That master who had the animal which killed loses his animal fully. He goes blank. The Gemara makes a judgment of it. Bal ashor naki. He goes empty, like somebody who just lost everything. He's gone. What's pshat of that? So the Ramban says, you know what's not pshat? That it's a punishment. It's a knas on the owner. You dare to let your animal run rampant, run wild, and kill a human being, you're going to lose that animal. And you're going to lose that animal totally, fully, completely. It's gone. That's not pshat, Ramban says. Rather, it's this. It's a gzeres akasa that Hashem says, if an animal kills, the animal gets killed. And that's just that. Now, is the Ramban referring to anyone? You should know, look at little asterisk number one. The Rambam in Mor Nebuchim actually writes something else. The Rambam says, why is an animal and the animal being killed for when it kills a person? It's not seeking out punishment from the animal as the Kofrim make fun of us for. They're like, you Jews and your Torah. You think that it makes sense that an animal which has no brain, no real brain, should be responsible for its actions? No, give me a break. And you kill the animal, just kill the person, oh, bad animal. And in fact, you should know, the halacha is that when we do stone a shore in these type of scenarios, it needs a basin, it needs witnesses, the shore has to be there. We've got 23 judges, and there's a big fat creature sitting there mooing from the box over there, and it's tied up in chains, and then we go and we push it off a cliff the same way as with a person, and it's a very, intense scene. The Kofrim laugh at us. You think you're punishing the shore? It doesn't have brains. The Rambam says, don't think that they're right, that that's why we do it. That's not why we do it. I'll tell you why we do it. It's because it's a knas for the violin. It's to make them lose money. So that way, he'll be more careful with his animal next time. And in fact, the Rambam says, makes a lot of sense. Why is the animal asur b'hanah afterwards? So that way, the owner loses everything. It's a knas. However, the Ramban is denying that. So, to highlight that, why do we kill an animal which kills a person? Or why is Hashem saying he's going to kill an animal that kills a person? The Ramban doesn't tell us. He just says, Xeris HaKasa. We'll analyze that in a second. The Ramban, Mor Nebuchim, says, because it's a knas on the owner, which the Ramban rejects. The Radak says, maybe not about the skill in that particular thing, but if an animal kills, the Radak says, no. Those kofrim are right for making fun of us. I mean, they're not right for making fun of us, but they're right that that's our reason. Hashem says, we are going to kill the animal because it deserves to be punished. So the Radak thinks that animals can, even though generally they don't, at least in this one exceptional case, animals are responsible for killing people. The Rambam says that's idiotic. The Rambam says no, it's just the kenas and the bialim. And the Ramban hasn't told us. So what might be, if we were to wonder, if we were to inquire, why is it that there's this gzeiras hakasuv? If it's not to punish the owner, if it's not because the shore itself deserves to be punished. So two suggestions. One's very intuitive, but doesn't fit the halachas. And that is, guys, you think we want dangerous animals around? If this animal has proven to be a killer, you kill it. Jaws, right? You know that there's a shark which is a man killer. You try your hardest, however costing many actors' lives, but you try your hardest to kill that animal. It's a beast, it's a monster. You kill it. You shoot it. It is known as a killer. And maybe the simple shot is this thing has killed a person. It's wild and scary and dangerous. You kill it. This is fit with one halakha, which the Ramban is about to bring up to attack the Rambam. Why did the Ramban say he's convinced that the Rambam is wrong, that it can't be a knas on the owners? After all, guys, do you know what animals get killed? Not just an animal which is owned by a person, but even a shore shall have, let's say a wild lion runs out of the forest, nobody owns that lion, and it gobbles up a kid. We will kill that lion. We'll kill that lion. We'll stone it. We'll have the same process. We'll kill that lion. If the Rambam was right, that is a knas, the penalty on its owners, that lion don't got no owners. There are no owners. So it can't be that the Rambam's right. And the Ramban uses that right here to disprove the Rambam. However, while that might make sense then, according to what I'm suggesting in the Ramban, that it's there to get rid of dangerous animals, I don't care who owns them, I don't care where they are, kill dangerous animals, what doesn't fit, guys?
It's not Mu'ad.
Okay, that's true. You're right. The Mu'ad component is relevant. Maybe there, the guy was particularly at fault for daring to let his animal kill, even once he knew it was a killer. But let's ignore that for a second. What doesn't it fit with? Why is it Asur B'Hanah? Why should it be Asur B'Hanah? And why do we need this whole court system? If it's just to kill the animal, just bring it out back, take a rifle, pistol, whatever, shoot it in the head and done. Why do we have to have this whole ceremony? So rather, let me suggest another explanation for what this gzeiras hakasuv might be. Why would it be, if it's not to punish the animal, it's not to hurt the owner, and it's not just to remove wild animals, why might it be that we want to kill this animal? And I think it teaches us something very profound. And that is that this was a crime. Not because the animal was a guilty party, that it could have known better. But we cannot sit quietly when a human being was killed, was murdered. The community as a whole has to stand up and shout, no, this is wrong. We let a human being get killed, that is a travesty. That is a terrible thing. Not that they per se did something wrong, but the fact that a human was killed is as grand a tragedy as we can imagine. Therefore, whoever was responsible, whatever it might have been, even if it was an unthinking creature, we destroy it. We take it and we kill it. And in fact, we have a whole ceremony. And we kill it as if it was a murderer. Because we have to say this was a loss of a life in a horrible, untimely fashion. We make our statement. And moreover, this fits with why it gets skila. Often, the Pashtunim say that the skila punishment is found by things which are community affairs. Things which break taboos, break the norms. Like Hillel Shabbos is one good example. That's something which is so precious, so important in the community. When somebody violates Shabbos, the community together stones him in a public fashion. And moreover, uniquely, by Skila, the Pasuk says the whole nation will throw stones at him after the Eidim do. Because it's a communal affair. Similarly here, the loss of human life, if we just let it go by suddenly, oh yeah, that was terrible, he got eaten by a wolf. Sad. That's not enough. We have to kill it. We have to kill it viciously, publicly, to make the point that it was a terrible thing that a human being was murdered horribly. So perhaps that's the meaning of the gzeiras hakasuv. I'm not saying the Ramban is saying that. The Ramban doesn't really tell us much. I'm suggesting, if we're trying to conjecture what the gzeiras hakasuv might be, perhaps that would fit a little bit better with the whole ceremony and the Isra Hanug with it. This thing is horrible. It's dead. Gone. Perhaps. Let's move on, though. I want to get to more points about the Ramban. The Ramban suggests alternative reads of this pasuk, however, which might remove this whole question in the first place. And we're wondering, why is it that Hashem's going to kill this animal? He's going to hunt it down and kill the animal. We either adopt it and punish the animal. And we had the Ramban then saying, no, just exerts custom. But let's look in the next paragraph. Be talking. Shahatam Yakovai, perhaps the explanation, whenever the Ramban says Tam, he doesn't mean, I mean, sometimes he might mean the reason. But generally, he uses the word Tam, like the Tam Akasa. He doesn't mean like the reason behind it, explaining a why question, but he means the explanation of the pasuk. So the explanation of these words is not that Hashem is going to hunt down an animal that killed a person, but rather that if a person dares to kill another person, then Hashem is going to get him dead. Hashem's going to kill him in whatever way Hashem needs to, including unleashing the forces of nature against this guy. Hashem will have him be ripped apart by a wild pack of hyenas. But Hashem's going to find some way where this guy will be eaten by animals. Hashem will muster his forces of nature, including animals, to hunt down this fellow. At which point, the question dissipates. If you read the pasuk this way, why would Hashem take revenge against an animal which has no free will, no intelligence? So you could say Hashem does in this particular case, like the Radak. You could say the Ramban, that it's whatever, some special exerts custom. Or you could say that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk rather means Hashem will use the animals to kill a human murderer, who of course has free will and sin. A fourth explanation. Let's look at the next paragraph. Perhaps it doesn't mean this at all. And this is going to turn us to the larger part of our discussion, although it will be the culmination and conclusion of the discussion. The Ramban then turns to another suggestion. It's not that Hashem is going to attack the animal for killing a people, or that Hashem will attack a person who kills a person with an animal, but rather it's Hashem implanting in nature a natural reluctance on the part of animals to kill people. Again, it's not that Hashem is going to kill the animal for killing a person, or Hashem will kill a person for killing a person through the use of an animal, but rather it means Hashem will implant within the animals a natural reluctance to not want to kill people, to not want to harm people. And now the Ramban is going to open the door for a larger discussion. And that is, what is natural to wild beasts? If I asked you guys, you think a tiger naturally kills? You think a... I'm running out of random wild animals today. Crocodile naturally kills. Do you think they naturally kill? I would have thought, yeah. I don't know about you. I would have for sure thought, yeah. That's what they seem to do. That's what I've always heard them do. I thought that was part of their nature. The Ramban denies this. The Ramban says no. In their truest nature, in their very essence, they're not naturally carnivores. They're not naturally murderers. And this harkens back to Barsh Brachos, where Hashem says that he will give to people as well as to animals not meat to eat, but rather plant life, fruits for people, grass and vegetables for animals. That's what Hashem's going to give. But lions will lie with the lamb. They will not eat the lamb by their truest nature. However, the Ramban tells us the following. Which source should I go to now? Let's jump a little bit. In the next source, source number 4. The Ramban is talking in the Tochba, if I recall correctly, that Hashem says that eventually I will remove all wild animals from Eretz Yisrael. All wild beasts will be gone. The Ramban quotes a Machlokes Tanaim. What does that mean? Hashem will remove the wild animals. He'll make the land peaceful. What does that mean? So he brings a Machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. Two great Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't mean that the animals will literally be calmed down. Rather, it means Hashem will get rid of the animals. There won't be any wild carnivores roaming the streets. Hashem will give us peace, tranquility in our land. We won't have to worry for beasts of the field. Rabbi Shimon, by your side, says a more mystical pshat. Rabbi Shimon says no. Hashem will literally make the lion lie with the lamb, as the pasuk in Yeshayah says. The wolf and the snake will lie down with the child and the goat and everything else. Every creature will be calm with one another one. And the Ramban says, who's right, Rabbi Shimon. The Ramban says, the pashup shot, the correct shot, is like Rabbi Shimon. And he then tells us this big yisur. He says, by their very nature, by the animal's core, they do not want to kill. Not people for sure, and not even other animals, the Ramban says. Interesting. So why do they? I thought it was natural. Was I wrong about, what did I say? A crocodile and whatever.
Tiger.
Different. What?
Tiger.
A tiger. Right. So, do they really not naturally kill? It seems like they do. So Ramban says, look, well, here's what happens. After the chet of Adam, after the initial sin, what happened? man became open to death. And that included also, with his sin, an openness to being killed by animals. Hashem, at that stage, allowed animals to lose their natural fear, because I would posit, the natural fear that animals have of people is because we are fully B'Tselem Elokim, and we, without sin, are very scary to them. They realize that we're the masters. Once we degrade ourselves to their level, once we become animalistic, we sin and we don't act with our moral code, but rather we follow our animalistic desires, then we become just like them, and then they're free to prey upon us. As the animals began to do this, as man continued to sin, they developed it as more of a part of their nature. But not their essence, the Ramban says. Not their essence. It's an external overlay. The animals developed this hunger, as he says, it's known, and I think we can all admit to this, right? I think. I don't know. I'm not a zoologist. But I believe that this is true, that if an animal starts killing once, twice, then it develops a taste for that, and it will continue to do so more and more. And that's indeed what happened to species as a whole. They all developed this carnivoristic spirit, where they went and attacked people and each other. And therefore, it seems like that's what they do naturally, but it's not actually natural. Now, what happened after the flood? After the flood, the Ramban tells us, things changed. Because Noah saved the animals. Why were any of them alive any longer? Because Noah, by, you know, his own two shoulders, carried them, fed them, took care of them, brought them into the Teva. He was their caretaker, and therefore he earned the right to kill them. In fact, before the Mabul, people were not allowed to kill animals to eat them. The Ramban explains, that's because, the Ramban brings a machlokes about this, and I'm running out of time, so I don't want to go too much into it, but if you want to look in some of the sources, I quoted it as the third asterisk one on the second page. The Ramban brings a machlokes, an important machlokes, as to the nature of the soul, the human soul. Are there three components? The one that's plant-like, the one that's animal-like, and then the human additional component? Three separate components? Or is it one which is able to function and cover the basis of the animal ones and the plant ones? Do we have a totally unique spirit, or do we have a spirit which is shared in two-thirds with animals, and we have an additional component? In fact, the Ramban prefers that opinion. He thinks that's Chazal's opinion, he thinks that's Unkelis, against the Rambam, you should know, that he thinks that there's really three separate components to the neshama, to the soul. And two of them we share with animals. And thus, we have no right to kill the animal. The animal also can think on some level. The animal can also choose between some things on some level. They're similar to us. They can run away from things that are scary. They can chase after things that they want. And therefore, we have no right to kill animals. And we didn't, actually. Very sounding like vegetarianism, right? Before the Mabul. After the Mabul. After we saved the animals, only because of Noach's zuchus and Noach's actions were the animals saved, then we were given the mitzvah of shechita. We were given the ability to shechet animals, slaughter them, and eat them. But beforehand, we were not. Only afterwards, we were. And the Ramban then says, what's this pasuk, tying it all home, what's this pasuk teaching us? That even though animals had developed this unnatural, but now apparently natural hunger for each other and for humans, Hashem tempered it. Again, he lowered it again, supernaturally, implanting into their nature again another dose of fear of human beings. Naturally, they would never attack anything. Then they developed, after we sinned and we have sins, a taste for animals and humans. They're willing to attack. However, after the Mabul, when we became their overlords once again, to the point where we could even kill them and eat them, now we have the right to kill them, and they have no right whatsoever to kill us. So Hashem imparted within them, again, a natural reluctance to hurt people. There's more to say on this. There is definitely more to say. However, I want to, for the sake of time, I always try to go between 20 to 30 minutes, so we're rounding about 30, so I want to turn to a conclusion. What do we take from this? There's more to say about, and if you want to look at the sources, I'll give you Rashi Tevos, look at the rest of the sources, you can see, were the animals chayv misa for their actions, that they were killing people before the flood, and that they also had changed their ways, and they were sleeping with the wrong species and with the wrong genders and stuff, just as the men were? Or were no, they were just going to be destroyed naturally because, like, there was no purpose to them once man was around. And the Ramban assumes the first way. That it was because they themselves were sinning, and in fact even killing people. At which point, that should bring up the question to us, wait a second, I thought the Ramban did not want to accept the idea that animals can be punished for their sins. And yet here, he sounds like he is accepting the fact that the animals were going to be punished for their sins. There's a few sources I put on here. Again, I don't want to run through them all now. But there seems to be a steer in the Ramban. Are animals able to be punished for their sins, or are they not? The way I would resolve that on a simple level is probably as a particular individual, the Rambam thinks that that's silly, but as a species at large, for them developing this general tendency, I think the Rambam would think indeed they can. Let me turn to the point, though, that I want to conclude. And that is a very, very important point. From this Rambam, we see that humans share 2/3 of our neshama with animals. And in many ways, animals might even be similar to people that, under certain circumstances, they can be held accountable for their actions. What does that mean for us? Does it mean humans are animals? Far from it. One of my rabbis was just telling me that he was reading an article and he thought there was a very sharp point from it, and I totally agree. I think it's very obvious, but worth reiterating, certainly in today's day and age. One of the big problems with the general liberal attitude that we should everyone live and let live, and everyone do that which they want to do, and really, we should give everyone their fullest rights, and that often trickles down to animals as well. They're living creatures, they can feel terror, they can feel pain and excitement, they care for their young, and we should give them the same degree of privileges, of rights as people. Where that's off base is because it's founded in a perspective that we are no different than animals, in that humans are merely advanced animals. It talks about rights, and animals have rights. There's animal rights activists. They have as many rights as people. They too can feel pain. They too can feel excitement and good things. So be nice. If you're moral, you should be nice to animals as much as you be nice to people. And where, as they say in Harvard, that is crum, is by thinking that people and animals are only about rights, and therefore we all share the same things. Look at the Ramban's perception. Look at the Torah's perspective. Yes, people in some ways are similar to animals, but it's that animals also have responsibilities. The animals too can be wiped off the face of the planet for doing Hamas. The animals too, at least according to the Radak, can be punished, can be destroyed, obliterated for a sin, at least in certain rare scenarios, because they shouldn't know better. We demand, even of our animals, certain rights. Because Judaism, certain responsibilities. Because Judaism is not about rights, about who gets to do what, and I get to do whatever I want, and everybody should get to do whatever they want, but rather, all of us trying to build ourselves and our society into the ideal one by living up to the responsibilities which we require. And so much so do those animals who share certain features as us, and they share 2/3 of our neshama with us, in that they too, in certain regards, might also have responsibilities. What that means for us is never to dare demean a human being by saying, oh, we're the same as animals. But also, they should be very careful, as the Ramban, in many of the pieces, which I didn't read through exactly, speaks out, should be very, very gentle and very, very careful for animals. And many mitzvahs in the Torah are guiding us to engender compassion, kindness in our own hearts, because we should take care of the animals. They are living creatures. They have feelings that can be afraid or hurt. And we should take that into account. And most importantly, we should live our entire lives with a sense of responsibility. What is our chov? What is our chova that we must complete in this world? What are we supposed to be doing? And that's the most important question.